Have you ever felt overwhelmed? How about anxious, fearful, or guilt-ridden? Have you ever felt so stressed out that you wanted to crawl into a hole? At times, we've all felt overwhelmed and controlled by the stresses of life. But through the power of the living Word of God and the Holy Spirit, you can put all of those feelings aside and listen to what Jesus has to say. This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hey everybody, it's Frank. Recently I sat down with my dear friend, Pastor Alan Kirkpatrick, and in an attempt to record a podcast with him, we kind of went over time a little bit. Alan has a lot of great things to say, so please enjoy this Godcast about fruit. It's the first part of a two-part Godcast. Enjoy. Hello, hello. This is Frank Sasso coming at you. History with God Ministries Godcast Network. I'd like to welcome all of our partners, our members, our friends, and any first-time listeners that just might be tuning in. I am very proud to be sitting here with my buddy, Alan Kirkpatrick. Ever since we decided to start doing these Godcasts, I knew there was one guy I needed to get on this network, and that is Alan Kirkpatrick. I could just listen to him talk because I wish I had a camera because you need to see how passionate he is. I know you're hearing this. Maybe you're in your cubicle or you're driving down the road, or maybe you're in your home with like headphones on, your eyes closed. I need to get a video of this guy because
maybe we should do video.
We should start doing videos or something, man. Maybe that's the next step. I don't know, but you are going to be so blessed by the end of this podcast, this particular one. Not taking anything away from my brother Tim or my brother Jason or even my wife. Please don't make me go there. I tell Alan all the time, my wife makes me look like I'm sleeping. But Alan has this anointing on him. When I first met him, one of the first conversations I had with Alan was, what body part are you?
Yeah.
And he said, I'm afraid to ask the Lord what body part I am. I'm afraid he's going to tell me I'm like a little toe or something, you know. And so I hit him on the back and I went like this, like, oh, come on, stop being such a big baby. So he said, I'm going to ask the Lord. I said, the Lord's going to tell you tonight what body part you are. And he comes back the next morning and goes, he told me I'm the heart. And ever since that day, I've been referring to him as Pastor Alan. And the reason I do that is because I, Frank Sasso, kind of look to Alan just because I see the heart he has and I want that. And so I kind of like, it's really more for selfish reasons. Don't tell him. When you see Alan, don't tell him that I told you that, all right? So anyway, hey, Alan. I didn't realize you were sitting right there.
That's basically why
I'm like, I'm just attracted to that so much that I want to be a blessing to Alan, you know?
That's very sweet. I appreciate it. It's good.
Alan has had this word on his heart now for a couple of weeks, right, dude?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And I believe it was about fruit.
Amen. About being real.
Now, when did you first get this word?
It's just been growing. You know, my heart is to know who God is in a real way. I'm all done playing. You know, I've been in the church, grew up in the church, more or less, you know, my whole life, but never really knew God.
Yeah.
And then really
kind of
came
the motions.
Yeah, playing the game. I mean, right. It's easy. You can go your whole life and be in church and never be changed.
Yeah.
And I realized...
That's a good word, my man.
Yeah. Right after I got married, which is a great time to learn that things are not working. I didn't think I was going to go here, but it really was a turning point in my life because you start to see the things kind of in your life that you know shouldn't be there your whole life. You never thought you'd be in a place where things aren't going the way you thought they were going to go.
Right. Not saying it's a bad thing.
No, but just the word, it had all these places in the word about how, you know, sing with joy and be full of joy and have, and I don't have any joy. and I'm in church, but I still have a lot of problems. And I'm going to church, and you know, Sunday's great, and by Monday morning, I'm having trouble. Uh-huh. And Tuesday, you know, by Wednesday, it's like I could, you know. That's so it's as if you're not even going to, you're no different than
at that point, going to church becomes the same thing as, all right, I go to work, I go to church,
right.
I do this, I do that, we go to the movies once in a while. Right. It's just another thing that you do.
Yeah, yeah. And it compartmentalizes because you can go to church, you mean, oh, it's Friday night, yeah, we get to go out, and we're going to do this and that, and, you know, get crazy, and then Sunday, better fly right, and let's get into church, and dress right, and go in, and, you know, do all the right things. All good things, all good. No one would ever say that was bad.
Amen.
Going
they
to church,
all
I mean,
things.
That's awesome. The word is so clear, do not forsake meeting together, but it's to stir one another up in love and good works.
That's what it is.
What is that? What are those good works? What are we, you know, what is it that we're supposed to be doing? Like, what is my call in my life? And, oh, there's a, I mean, the Lord is putting a scripture on my heart, because this just kind of gets to the heart of it. It's in Galatians 5:4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. So, trying to live by the law, I have fallen from grace. You know that saying, like, oh, he's fallen from grace.
Yeah.
It's the opposite. If I've fallen in sin, I've got grace all the more.
That's right.
I lose grace when I try to do it under my own
Amen.
Works.
Amen.
So, we were talking earlier about, like, the gifts of healing, and you know, we hear about those cool things, and that really started to burn in my heart. I was starting getting excited. Like, yeah, I want to see people get healed.
Sure.
I think it's real. I want to see, I mean, if God's who he says he is.
Right.
I mean, now, all Jesus ever did was go around healing people. He
That's
said,
right.
you can do what I'm doing. And he wouldn't say it unless I could have it.
Right.
And so we started to believe. Tim and I started to believe it. We started to actually believe that we could pray for the sick and they get better. And so we started to focus on that fruit. And I guess kind of what's going on in my heart is it's great to focus on the fruit, earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. But there's a better way, says Paul, become love. And that's kind of where I'm going is that because I could spend all day trying to do good things. And those are good. I mean, that's great. I'm not saying anything against that. I certainly wouldn't. But I want to become what this word is saying.
Right.
I'm tired. I don't want to just play the game. I don't want to just go through the motions during the week and have a miserable week. I want to be so full of love. I'm supposed to be an overflow.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be an overflow.
Stuff.
Right? I'm not supposed to be needing you to do something to make my day go better.
That's
right.
Right?
Oh, man, I would have had a good day, but Frank, you know, you said you'd call, but you didn't.
Oh,
and I could take
it.
That and that could become an offense, and that's an offense, and blah, blah, blah. We go from there, and then I have rights. I have things that I'm standing on. I'm saying that this is how it's going to be. You know, that if this doesn't, you know, it doesn't go my way. Oh, hey, honey, how was your day? Oh, it was a bad day. You know, my boss came, and he said this, and
yeah,
he just
so these external things that you're allowing to govern how you feel and how you have joy.
Amen.
And when you say, like, rights, I know some people listening might think, oh, but I'm the righteousness of God. Don't I have rights? Yeah, you have rights with God. You have certain rights. You have a right to answered prayer. You have a right to be healed. That's not what Alan's talking about. He's talking about, like, when we stand up in our, let's say, our American rights. I have rights. You know, that's what he's kind of talking about. And by the way, the Tim that he referred to is the same Tim, Amen. Mickey D. That's right.
He's
the
my brother.
Same Tim McDonald, Tim and Alan of, like, if you've seen Tim, you've seen Alan.
Amen.
That's basically, And Tim has done now two podcasts with us. He's done Intimacy with Holy Spirit with me, and he's also done one solo called Putting on God's Word, which is on the list. You can check it out on the website,
Amen.
Check it out on iTunes.
Amen.
Good stuff. People love
Very
Tim.
Good.
There was one iTunes review that said the title was three words, and the review was More Tim McDonald. So,
Amen.
But let's get back to fruit real quick. I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail.
Yeah, no. Well, rabbit trails are fun.
They're all kind of fun.
With the Holy Spirit.
Except when you're on a rabbit trail and you don't see any rabbits. It's like, did we get lost?
Well, my excitement, I want to become what the word says so that I can be an outflow, because if my focus is on everything going my way, I mean, I guess what's really kind of laying a hold of me is where Jesus says, if any man comes after me, let him first lay down his life. Why? Well, because I was never created to be about me in the first place. I was created in God's image. And what is God? He's love. So I'm to be love. And what really gets me excited is we get together and we're talking and we start, you know, talking about what God's doing. It
Sure.
always goes here, because back to when, you know, I was walking the walk and I was kind of doing good things, but I was kind of, my heart was kind of like, well, I guess someday God will change me, but I believe that God started to put his finger on my life, and I started to say, you know, it's just not good enough anymore that I'm just doing the right thing. I want to become love. Right. I want my response to be out of love. I want to be the overflow, right? Because a great example for men is at work. You know, you're working, you want your boss to come and say, you're doing a great job. You're awesome.
Sure.
And they want, and oh, you know, you're so awesome. We're going to give you a raise, and you're going to get a promotion. And that's what we're kind of working for. You know, you're working to please your boss. That's awesome. We should, amen. We should be doing that. But if I don't get those things, my identity is supposed to be in him. And so if I'm not getting those things...
In the Lord. Your identity is supposed to be in the
right.
Lord.
When I say in him, I'm...
I just want to clarify. Your identity is wrapped up in him, Jesus Christ.
Who he says I am.
Amen.
And he says I'm a son. Yes, he says does. I'm the righteousness of God. Because I was created to be love. See, God says, let's make man in our image.
Right.
Genesis 1. It's awesome. It's right at the beginning of the book. Everybody can find that. It's in the front of the book. You go read that. Let us make man. Who's us?
Yes, yeah, who's
the
us?
The Father and Jesus. It's all, and the Holy Spirit.
And the Holy
it's
Spirit.
Awesome. You know, that is such a great word. But let us make man in our image, right? So we were made to be like God, right? We were made in his image.
Not only that, one translation says, let's make another speaking spirit.
Amen, amen.
So the flesh that we deal with, that's not us.
Yeah, amen.
That's not the image of God.
Right. Oh, there's so much we could go into. Oh. I'm getting...
See, yeah.
So here I go from just going through the motions to what is my motivation? You know, I want to become this thing. So that's kind of how I've been approaching the scripture. And, you know, it's so fun. And I just encourage anybody to do this. And is you start to have something, you feel like God's growing in your life. And then you start to, when you come to read, say, Lord, Holy Spirit, because you're the spirit of wisdom and truth.
Amen.
Show me who Jesus is. Show me the word. You know, start to reveal, and oh my goodness, he starts to do it. I mean, that, like, Frank calls me Pastor Al. I'm just a guy who said, hey, I just want to know more about him. And it just starts to come. See, the more you get filled, then the more you overflow. I mean, it just kind of makes sense, right? It started out being, hey, I want, you know, those gifts, those are cool. I want words of knowledge. I want, that's all good stuff.
Right.
And the word says to earnestly desire, that's great.
Right.
But it started to change into, no, I want to become love, right? It's
right.
not a, I mean, yeah. those things come and it comes out of the overflow of what God's doing in my heart. But just going after those things. See, a guy got up in our little local church and he read the scripture. It was like, I'd never heard of it. I wasn't even really reading my Bible, but he read this thing in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. In fact, even those who, you know, Lord, haven't we prophesied in your name and driven out demons and done all these great things? And you say, I never knew you.
Never knew
and that just kind of, that really scared me. That really put me, because I was like, man, I haven't even done any of the things. I haven't done any.
Yeah.
Because it's not about those things. We can make it be about all the stuff about going to church and about looking right and about singing in the choir. And like I said, not bad things, good things. But that's not what God's after. When Jesus says, I came to save that which is lost, he's not trying to find a choir. He's not looking for a church that's going to sing and shout hallelujah, amen on Sunday. And then by Monday, he's yelling at the guy on the road, you know, who just cut him off.
Exactly. Or the right,
guy,
man.
How about the guy who purposely is trying to offend you?
Yeah.
Right? He's coming. He's trying to steal your joy, right? Well, the word says that I can have joy in all seasons.
Right.
Well, that means when someone's screaming at me, I can be at peace.
Amen.
And in fact, in my walk, the times that I've messed up, when did Jesus ever respond to me that way? When did he ever yell at me, yell back at me? When did he ever demand anything of me? When did he ever say, you change right now or I'm going
to... Well, I'm assuming never, because he's never done that to me.
Amen. Amen. And we know in the word, he never did it.
He never did.
He was always
not
responded
even to
out
the
of
Pharisees.
Love. He always responded in love.
Yeah.
And here, and so we.
Alan is totally owning me on this podcast. I want everybody to know that I'm aware of it.
So even when he was talking to the experts in law, and this is the scripture that kind of got me going. I was at my parents' house and I was talking to my mom. I was reading the scripture and it got me going and things just started to flow. And so I have a couple scriptures here, because on fruit, when we talk about fruit, like you were asking earlier, it's about what God's after, about becoming. Jesus talks a lot about the fig tree, and we're going to get into that. the fig tree bears fruit. Right?
That's right.
And every tree, you'll know the tree by
its fruit
it bears.
That's
but see, I'm not, you know, God doesn't say, well, I'm measuring to see how much fruit you have. He just wants you to bear fruit. In fact, it's my Father's good pleasure that you bear even more fruit. He prunes us so that we would bear even more. It's his good pleasure that we bear fruit. It's good stuff. But see, it's about becoming the tree, the healthy tree, right?
Right.
Because
right.
I was looking for that scripture. I couldn't remember
what it was. A healthy apple tree is not two apples.
Right. Right.
And I'm not saying that it's not a good tree. It bore two apples. That's what it's supposed to do.
Right. Amen.
But it's not a healthy, abundant, fruit-bearing tree.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
You're not going to cut it down because it just had two apples on it.
Right. You're going to... In fact, he says, he says to the man in the vineyard, comes out and says, hey, this tree's been here and it's not bearing any fruit. And see, that's my, not fear, but just... It just touches something on me that, wow, we're to bear fruit. I'm a tree. Psalm 1 talks about the tree shall bear fruit. Let's go to it.
Well, it talks about the man who meditates in his word day and night.
Amen.
Is like what? A tree planted by rivers of streams of living water.
Which yields its fruit
in season. And leaf does not wither.
Amen.
That everything he does prospers.
Amen.
Awesome.
That's what I want. You're the tree.
So good.
He's not talking about the fruit there. You'll know the tree by its fruit, but he's talking about the tree. We're to become love. Right? You see, love manifests by, I see you're hurting and I'm going to help you. Those are good things. That's the fruit manifesting. But see, I have to become love in order to stand out. See, that's why, like...
How do you become love? Here's how you become love. Spend time with love.
Amen.
Who's that? God is love.
Amen. God is love. Look
if
in
you,
the Word.
If you keep spending time with God...
That's a great word.
I have a feeling he might rub off on you.
Well, listen.
And you'll start acting like love.
Yeah. Well, the Pharisees even noticed that. Because they said, like, who are these two ignorant fishermen, Peter and John? And then they said, wait, these guys were hanging out with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were in the sand. And now Jesus has been crucified.
Right.
He's over. And the Pharisees bring Peter and John in and say, we don't want you preaching in this word anymore. Right. We don't want you preaching by this name Jesus anymore. We want you to stop. And they're answering very wise. And then they come back with what I think is the best line. Anytime anybody comes against your ministry, it's the perfect line. They say, well, you guys decide amongst yourselves whether we should listen to you or we should listen to God. But for now, we're going to listen to God. And then they leave. And the Pharisees let him go. I read that every time They probably were sitting there like, oh, man, he just did to us what Jesus was doing to us all day long. And I was just totally...
We should have been ready for that. Yeah. They hung out with Jesus. We should have totally been ready for that.
Jesus. So good.
And then you know what? Because of them hanging out with Jesus, they knew what to say to the Pharisees, and that's also called fruit.
Amen. Amen.
They had fruit.
It's good. It's good. Well, here's a good word. It's in Luke 11:52, and this really caught my eye. Like I was encouraging earlier, you come to the word, Lord, I'm looking for that. I see what you're doing in my life.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, because whatever he's doing is good.
Absolutely.
It's always going to bear fruit. I mean, every proverb is about bearing fruit. Almost. I mean, every parable that he talks about is about how to bear fruit, about the man comes out and the tree's not bearing fruit and he says, I'm just going to tear it out. And the worker in the garden, who's Jesus, he's so awesome. He's like, wait, let me dig around the roots another year. Let me just dig around the roots. What's he doing? Breaking up the unplowed ground. There's a place in Hosea, it says, break up your hard ground. Break up your hard ground and sow the seeds of righteousness. You know, like the things that where your heart is hard, break it up so that righteousness can get in
get
and
in
you
there.
Can start bearing fruit.
Right.
So you can start to grow, right? So I'm going to dig around the roots of the tree so that it'll bear fruit. Because he wants us to become... He's not out to condemn us.
He's not out to rip us out of the ground and put us in the fire.
Amen. Amen. It's so awesome.
Oh.
So now is the time. Now, if you're hearing this word, and this is such a... The Lord was telling me about this earlier to say this. If you're hearing this message, and this is going right to your heart, don't say, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Don't say, that's a good word, and I should really put this to practice. You stop the tape right now and get in the word. Just start praying. Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, what are you doing? Where do you want to take me? What is it you're after in my heart? I guarantee you he's going to tell you. He's the Lord. I mean, if he is who he says he is, and I believe he is, then he's faithful. He is so faithful to do it because that's his heart, is to make, like I heard it preached and it was so good. And this is really rocking my world. This guy I love, Dan Moeller, I just can't get enough of him. I'm like his disciple. He doesn't know it yet. Someday I'm going to tell him.
He might know it now. Disciple.
Amen. He said, the finished work of Jesus is not when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. It's when a man becomes love, when we become who he is. He is making the way. Yeah, I mean, he's done everything for us to become who he is, right? To become love, to answer. Every teaching is about not doing it the man way, which rises up, is so right there in our face. It's about choosing God's way and what God wants. I think this is the problem with the church in America. In our culture, because we're so wealthy, I mean, really, we live better than any human did before us on the earth. You know, even the least amongst us have air conditioning. And we really live in an amazingly blessed place.
Kids with iPhones, like the latest and greatest technology. Kids walking around with this stuff. I see people driving around. And, I mean, we are so blessed. You go to the supermarket, we don't have two cans of soup. We have 50 different kinds of flavors of soup. We are so blessed, and yet we're the biggest complainers. God forbid, if your cable goes out,
right,
you're on that phone and you're demanding, hey, you better get this thing fixed. I pay you X amount of money. And our jobs, and we're so impressed with ourselves.
Yeah.
And then we wonder why we lay hands on people, they don't get healed. Yeah. We're so quick to blame God.
Or why we're not having a good day.
Oh, exactly.
Dan says it's something like this. Because you can read the Old Testament and you see what the Israelites went through and you say, I would never do that. I mean, hey, if there was a column of fire at the head of the camp, I would never not believe. Yet the Israelites are in their tents, and manna is falling outside in the night. They don't even have to do anything. Everything's being provided, and yet they were still grumbling because it was all about them. They said it would be better for us if we were back in Egypt.
Better for us.
Better for us.
Right, right.
What God just said, you're my holy people. I'm gonna set you apart. I'm gonna take you out in the desert to speak tenderly to you. I wanna get intimate with you. Well, it'd be better for us if we were back in Egypt, as slaves.
Nice.
Like, that's great. There's a lot. That's another sermon We could go down that path.
But Alan, like my wife, Alan is a human content generator.
No.
There's nothing.
He just comes.
Okay, Alan, we hit record. Go.
So, but here's what I'm driving at, is that here there are two Israelites. You could stand at your tent and grumble that the manna fallen is not what I wanted. Or you could say, oh my God, thank you, Father. You're providing for me again. Here you are, Lord. We're in the desert. There's nothing here. And you're providing for all our needs are met. And here you are giving us bread. And we don't even have to do it. You're just providing for, thank you, Father. And see, because it's all what Tim says it all the time. He said it. What you focus on
gets bigger.
Amen.
That's right.
So here's Jesus, right? He's in the midst of, his ministry here. And he's got some Pharisees and some teachers of the law around him. It's in Luke 11. He says, woe to you, experts in the law. Now, that's a heavy thing. If the Lord, the creator of all, by whom and for whom and through whom all things were made, says, woe, you should really listen to this. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering.
That's huge.
I'm reading that. So first, the woe kind of caught me, because that's like, wow, Lord, you're amazing. But then,
What's worse than the woe is the woe to you.
Woe to you. Because you have taken away the key to knowledge. The key to knowledge.
But what does that mean?
These are the experts in the law. They knew the law better than, I wish I could know the law like they know the law. I mean, they probably knew every little law, how many laws are there? It's like 6,200
6,000.
Something like that. Like, I've heard it said. I don't remember.
It was some crazy
number. Crazy number.
You could
never do it. They knew it, right?
Yeah.
They knew every detail. They had the tassels on their garments. They never cut their sideburns. They, whatever. I don't even know. It's all the stuff. And yet they've taken away the key to knowledge. Well, what's the key to knowledge? What could be the key to knowledge? I mean, the key to knowledge. Why do I need knowledge? Why do I want knowledge? Because, like I was saying before, I want to become this. I want the knowledge. My people fail for lack of knowledge, right? I want to know how to become this. I want fruit. And so I started pondering this in my heart. I was like, this is kind of cool. The key to knowledge. Well, the first thing I start to think about is, who is the key to knowledge? I mean, what is the key to knowledge?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Spirit of wisdom and truth, right? Okay. I mean, he knows all things. I mean,
absolutely.
So by the law, by getting wrapped up in what you're doing, you can miss the whole purpose, right? To know God, right? To know who he is. And so Frank said it earlier, you want to become this thing you want. What do? You hang out with love. So you could read the law all day long, know it backwards and forwards, and even try to practice it and never become the very thing that you said that you wanted. In fact, here they are. They're so twisted. There's such a perversion of, and that word perversion means twist, a twisted thinking, like a incorrect thinking. It's bad. It's like taking a rope and twisting it once. So it's no longer coming out the way it should. It's twisted 180 degrees. It's perverted. It's wrong thinking. They're absolutely applying themselves, and yet we can even see that today. Like, you can do all these different things. I go to chorus, I do this, I do that, I do all these things for the Lord, but never become that. But to put him first, what do you have to do first?
Die to me.
Right. Amen. But Paul says, husbands, love your wives
like Christ loved the church.
Right, right.
What did Christ do for the church? Amen. Who? And I'm not talking about the church building. Go listen to You Say You Want a Revolution podcast to know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the church, Jesus Christ. We are the church.
Amen.
We are the body of Christ. We are the church.
We're having church right here.
We're churching right now. Amen. We be churching.
We're stirring one another up in love and good works.
That's it. We be churching, brother. But in any event, when we fellowship with the Lord, we give him all we've got, which is, honestly, what am I going to give to God? I give him my garbage, he makes gold out of it. I give him silver, he makes gold out of it.
Right.
And there's nothing, what my offerings to the Lord does not govern what he's able to do with it.
Right.
I can offer him garbage. I can offer him I figured at one point, God, I give you my garbage, you make gold out of it. I give you, maybe when I really get my act together and I start offering you silver, you can make like some kind of like titanium gold, right, Lord? Right? And he's like, no. He's like, no. What you give me makes no difference on what I can do with it, because that's who I am and that's what I do.
Amen.
If you give me garbage, I will make gold. If you give me silver, I will make gold, because that's what I do.
Amen.
Gifts, your offerings have nothing to do with what I can do with them.
Right.
You know.
It's not about performance.
It's not. So my wife loves me.
Right.
She's willing to follow me. Why? Because she knows that I love God more than I do her.
Right. Amen.
Now, that may sound a little shaky. Amen. That may sound kind of hairy. Well, what do you mean? Well, my wife knows that if I'm spending time with the Lord, she knows, don't interrupt me. And I know that with her, and sometimes, and I'm guilty of that, sometimes I do interrupt her. And I got to stop doing that. But, you know, we all have our things. But anyway, if you spend more time with love, you will be more like love.
Amen.
I spend time with Tim.
Right.
I start talking like Tim.
I know. Amen.
It's the same thing. Why not? I mean, how much more God?
Right.
I spend time with Jason. I want to start rapping, you know?
So back to our fruit thing. I read that scripture about you experts in the law taking away the key to knowledge. And really what he's talking about is the key to knowledge about becoming, you know, but becoming the tree that to bear the fruit, right?
Okay.
So here's Jesus admonishing them. Well, in Haggai 2:19, if you want to look it up, it says, is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit.
Ooh.
The nation of Israel was mature. I mean, it had been around for a long time. And so, yet with all the law, here's a prophet saying, with the law and everything that I've given you, you've yet to bear fruit. I've created some the pomegranate, some the fig tree, some the olive tree, and yet no one's bearing fruit. Right? So that's supposed to be, I mean, and the teachers of the law would know this. they would know this. So, I mean, all these scriptures, I mean, I know there's more. I mean, I would love to do a longer...
Yeah, but you know what? That says a lot. Just being able to pull that out of a minor prophet, and I'm not saying minor like in a derogatory
way. Oh, they're all awesome.
They're all. I mean, give me a break, man. Come on. Haggai? Really? He made it into the book. Right. You know? But my point is that to just pull that out, the Pharisees would have known that. That's a great point. They would have known that.
Right. Amen. So they would know what he's talking about. So then, because I'm looking up fruit, what came to mind was this other scripture that I had just heard, because this is how God works. He just starts dropping things on you, and you start tying it together, and it's in Revelation.
Revelation, okay.
3:15.
Revelation 3:15.
Yeah. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my
mouth. Okay, I want you to explain that, because... Yeah. A lot of people have a weird understanding, or at least a misunderstanding, of what that means. I want you,
okay,
right now, go for it.
Right.
Be either hot or cold, but lukewarm, I spit you out. Alan, go.
All right. If you're lukewarm, you're a tree that's not bearing fruit. You're neither one nor the other. You're not bearing fruit. So you're the tree that's not bearing fruit. You're doing all the right things. You're having a pretense. You're looking like those teachers of the law. And that's really what it got me going on this, is here's the teachers of the law. They know all the law. They're doing everything. They're wearing the right robes. They're cleaning their cups. They're doing everything right. Based on what they know, they're the righteousness of God. And here is the righteousness of God telling them, you need to get a grip. You need to find out. But here, see, you read scriptures like this in Revelation, it puts a chill down your spine. Because you read that and you go, oh man, I don't understand that. That doesn't apply to me. Maybe you do, but you know, you're reading, you say, well, I don't understand that. It's kind of scary. I don't even want to go there. But see, everything that God does is drawing and wooing. Don't read it like it's condemnation. No, he came to save that which was lost.
That's right.
So don't throw all those scriptures away. He's hanging on the cross, actually bleeding, praying for us. Lord, they don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them. The ones who even crucified him. So, I mean, come on. If we're even half trying, like you said, I'm giving God my garbage. He just wants you. He just wants you to give yourself. So when he says, I wish you were either hot or cold, because lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. You're good for nothing. Meaning, if you're hot, praise God. I'm going to make you even hotter. It's to my Father's good pleasure that you bear even more fruit. I'm going to prune you, so don't even get upset when you get pruned, because it's to make you bear more fruit. I'm going to make you even more fruitful. Praise God. That's awesome. James says, consider it pure joy, brothers, when you go through trials and tribulations of all kinds, because you know that he's producing in you fruit, really, is what he's saying. Awesome, praise God. And it's amazing when you start to see that and you start to apply it to your life and things come, because again, I'm going to be the outflow. I'm telling you what my heart is going after and what I want. And I was telling Ann this the other day, and a good one to bounce things off of is your wife, because
Amen.
She knows the really good.
Because they'll tell you.
Yeah. And she's like, get out of here, buddy. You're, you know. But I said, listen, not that I've attained it, but I see, and I'm pressing on with Jesus. And if there's something that comes along that says, hey, you know, because as soon as you say that this is what I'm building, this is what I'm going after, man, the fire comes, and all of a sudden, all these things start coming out. So how do you handle that? How do you deal with the things that aren't lining up with where you know you're going with God's lead? Well, you start to see the grace, and you're not relying on the law. Guess what? I did just mess up. Lord, yeah. I'm gonna stand on your grace. You know, where sin is, grace abounds all the more. I'm just going to apply your blood, and I'm going on with you, because that's not who I am. I'm repenting. I'm rethinking. Change your mind. Change how you feel. Change what you're thinking, how you see that thing as it applies to you, and press into him all the more. Thank you for making me righteous, Lord. Thank you for your love. So anyway, the hot or cold thing, you're hot, praise God. You're cold, at least he can change you. At least you're cold and he can lay a hold of you and make you hot and set you on fire, because at least you're not even deluding yourself that somehow you're righteous. I mean, you are righteous through him.
All right, everybody, that's all we have time for today. Tune in next week for part two of Got Fruit with Pastor Alan Kirkpatrick. Stay blessed. Love
you. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.